All right. Welcome to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance Network. My name is Derek Bros. I'm here with Micah and Johnny. What's up, guys?
How's it going? We're with Micah.
Going good, Johnny.
Avatar Micah, how are you?
Doing well. Good to talk to you guys. Glad to be here on KPFT FM Houston again on 90.1 every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock hour. So how y'all doing? How you doing, Derek?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm excited about today's show. I think that we really have a strong show tonight. You know, I think we do every week, but tonight we have a guest interview that we'll be getting to in just a couple of minutes, speaking with a nurse that some of you out there might have seen on the news in various places. She's a nurse at Houston Methodist Hospital, and she's a lot to share with us. We're going to get into that in just a couple moments. But as Micah said, you can find us at KPFT. That's 90.1 KPFT broadcasting in Houston, Galveston, elsewhere. And that's at kpft.org. And if you want to find more of our work as well, you can visit thehoustonfreethinkers.com to find out more about what we do. Well, Johnny, you got anything coming up this weekend you want to share? Any local events?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I totally do. The House of Jay will be reopening its doors to music officially this Saturday. And we're going to be kicking that off with a garden day. You can find us at 323 Hutchison Street. That's over in the east end of Houston. That's 323 Hutchison Street. And yeah, Jeffers kicking things off with a curry garden day. Come out, pick some plants, and eat some curry. Music starts at 7:30. We got a pretty sweet lineup, some up-and-comers. Slummers acoustically is going to be playing, the Dead Rabbits, El Jumbotron, Gank. Ganesha is going to be out here, and finally, my friend Calypso is going to be trying out one of her first performances at the house. So we're super excited for that. If anyone's free on Saturday, you want to catch some live music. I think there's some other shows going on, but you'll have to forgive me. I didn't look up which venue, but I'm sure.
Johnny, was that all Saturday?
That's going on Saturday. Yeah, from 4 till pretty much midnight. So 4 to 7 is going to be like Garden Day. Chilling with the curry out, and then 7:30 music's gonna start and all the fun right after that. So yeah, good times. If great. You guys are free, I'd like to see some new faces.
Great. What about you, Micah? I know you had some events going on.
Yeah, what Johnny's talking about, another little thing is it's Ricky's birthday, so I know it's gonna be, oh yeah, you know,
birthday
what I'm saying
to also, Ricky. Okay,
also in addition to that, there are markets, you know, throughout the area. I want to remind people that life does go on, that the economy, you know, people are still creating things out there for them. And there is a market, 1245 Heights Boulevard, from 8 till noon. If you're up in the morning time and want to get out and enjoy music or shop a little bit, and then, you know, in the evening, you go home, take a little nap in the afternoon, and get over to House of Jay if you want to, you know, partake in everything they got going on and the music there. So sounds like a fun Saturday is available for Houstonians if they want it. And I think it's important. We've always mentioned events, but I think in this time, it's even more important to mention events. So thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, Johnny, you weren't with us just last week, but Micah was sharing some different events and his excitement about a show and people gathering together and smiling and seeing each other's faces and sweating together and just being outside and all this stuff. So I'm not in Houston, of course, but it's good to hear that things are live back in Houston.
Without masks.
Yeah, I always say it. I always say it, man, you know, all the political divide and the disagreements about economics and, you know, religion and all those contentious issues, they just kind of melt away when you're at a show, you know. It's just not the same. You know, you're arguing, if you're finger mashing, arguing online, go to a show, go to a market, like have some conversation.
Go outside, have some fun. Yeah. And that is important to us. Of course, even if you're listening, you're outside of Houston, I know there's lots of people excited about this interview that we're about to have in just a moment. It is important. We want to remind people to, you know, not sit at home and live in fear and be sucked into a lot of the things we've faced over the last year. And I guess that kind of segues us into our next story here. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be interviewing Nurse Jennifer Bridges, and we're going to hear her story. And it's related to a bill that we mentioned on the show last week. Mike, I didn't realize when I mentioned this that it was going to be such a big thing. I'd seen people saying, hey, there's this bill, state bills, 1669 in the Texas Senate, that's being considered to ban the requirements of vaccines or vaccine passports as a requirement of work and, you know, to get your life insurance or all these sorts of things. And there ended up being hundreds of people going to the Capitol, and they testified for like 6 hours. You can find it on the Texas Senate State Committee website. It actually two parts for May 6th because there were so many people testifying and they had a break. But there's just so much in there. Like I said, about 5.5-6 hours worth of testifying. And I went through all of that today and I condensed it down to this 6-minute clip. And I think that we can just play this and it'll be a good intro to what we're going to hear from Jennifer. And the first person you hear is going to be State Senator Hall here in Texas, who is behind the bill and kind of discussing why he thinks it's necessary. Then you're going to hear from one doctor who is for the bill. And again, the bill would stop governments from being able to enforce vaccine mandates and require that government, that businesses can't require them as well. And then the third woman that you'll hear is actually against the bill and is in favor of vaccine mandates. So check this out real quick. You're listening to Freethinker Radio. We'll be right back after this with Nurse Jennifer Bridges.
Members, there is a growing push for mandated vaccinations in the area of COVID-19. Some entities such as healthcare facilities, long-term care facilities, and municipalities are already requiring vaccinations as a condition of employment. My office has heard from multiple people around Texas who don't even work in healthcare, yet are still being required to get the COVID-19 vaccine as a term of their employment. Outside of the realm of employment, there is an increasing concern that individuals will struggle to continue functioning normally in a society as a whole. Senate Bill 1669 does two things to address this issue. It prohibits vaccine mandates, whether public or private, and prohibits all discrimination and right of access restrictions based on vaccination status or proof of immunity. In short, this bill will prevent any type of discrimination or segregation based on vaccine or immunity status and would prohibit forced vaccinations across the board. If you are an individual who has chosen not to take a particular vaccine or vaccines, this bill will help ensure that you can get or keep your job, your health or life insurance policies, your access to government and private services, and more. Members, this protection and deregulation of businesses is something we discuss often, and rightly so. It is not my goal with this bill to invade further upon private businesses. However, the chief responsibility and constitutional role of our government is to protect the rights of the individual. Employees can take off their helmets, masks, or uniforms at the end of the workday. They cannot remove a vaccine.
Ben Edwards, trained as a family physician, did my undergrad at Baylor, UT Houston Medical School. I'd like to begin with a reminder to everyone about the definition of evidence-based medicine that Sackett, Strauss et al. Laid out back in 2000. They stated that the elements of evidence-based practice are the integration of best research evidence with clinical expertise and patient values. Patient values trump clinical expertise, and clinical expertise trumps the scientific evidence. I'm also concerned that the forced and coerced COVID-19 vaccinations would, in my opinion, be a violation of the Nuremberg Code, the UN International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 7, the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 3, and UNESCO's Article 6 of the Universal Declaration of Bioethics and Human Rights. In addition, I have some concerns similar to what Senator Hall already mentioned. According to the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which I have some updated numbers from last night when I downloaded these, 4,178 deaths are now being reported on VAERS. To give some context, over the past 20 years, all vaccinations combined, there were a reported 4,182 deaths over the past 20 years. In the past 4 months, we're now sitting at 4,178 deaths associated with the COVID vaccine reported to VAERS. This includes a 15-year-old boy in Colorado.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisette Allen, and I'm the Director of Education at the Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops, testifying in opposition to SB 1669. The Texas bishops support school choice and religious liberty that respects the independence and autonomy of private and religious schools, while fostering strong public school options. We are concerned with the provision of SB 1669 that would prohibit a private school from requiring any immunizations as a condition of admission or attendance. Currently, students enrolled in Catholic schools in Texas are required to be immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases with the immunization schedule adopted by the Texas Department. of State and Health Services. Parents and families choosing Catholic schools know this enrollment policy beforehand and are free to choose another private school if they do not agree with it. The rationale of this policy is to prevent, is to protect students, staff, and teachers from infectious diseases. SB 1669 would prevent private schools from requiring any vaccinations whatsoever. This would impinge upon the religious liberty of Catholic schools and could lead to serious health crisis and on top of an ongoing pandemic. For this foregoing reasons, we respectfully request you oppose SB 1669.
Thank you for your testimony. Senator Hall, any questions?
Yeah, I got a couple of them. What religious principle would be violated by you not being allowed to require people to be vaccinated in the Christian faith?
In the Christian faith, I would have to get back to you on that because I don't know.
You made the statement, so I thought maybe you knew what you were talking about.
Thank you.
Now, well, I've got another one. I've got another question for you. If the school were to mandate, you've heard the testimony here today of people,
yes.
You understand there is a risk with taking a vaccine, that
yes.
there's absolutely, is the school willing to accept responsibility for any damage that's done to a person that they require to take that vaccine?
That I don't know. That would have to be a discussion among the Texas bishops and the diocese in which they serve.
I would like for you to ask them both of those questions, and I would like to see their answer.
Okay.
Either with a visit or in writing.
Okay.
What is the Christian principle that's being violated?
Okay.
And will they accept full responsibility for the damage to anyone that gets vaccinated?
I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston, the Conscious Resistance Network. We were just playing a clip there of the Texas Senate hearings last week for State Bill 1669, which is trying to stop governments and businesses from being able to require vaccine mandates or vaccine passports. Before we get to our guests, Johnny, Micah, thoughts on just a couple of statements you heard there?
I got something to say. I think it's kind of interesting, you know, overall. I definitely appreciate the senator's stance there and tying it back to individual liberty, you know, so that is brought up in the conversation more as a principle by which government should, you know, take action. We always talk about the proper role of government. I think it's great that he grounded his bill in that language and because of obvious role that has in this. I also thought it was very interesting the quick of I don't know if it was which senator it was that questioned the lady from the private school, but I just the logic and the decisiveness of that man in his response to make her reveal that she didn't know what she was speaking of in two instances quickly, not in a mean sort of way, but this is what we have to deal with when we're filtering through, you know, ideas and making decisions. So I think that was really strong. And I thought it was odd that she would be there to defend the freedom of a business to require its employees get vaccines, yet her argument focused on the children having vaccines or not the other teachers and nurses, you know, the people, not the staff of the school. So anyway, those were my main takeaways on it. And I do think it's great that it's a Senate bill and not a House bill in a way. Just because it kind of gives more space for the public to be aware of. And also, I don't want to sound snotty, but I think sometimes people take things a little bit more serious when the Senate bothers to talk about something. Because, you know, I think a lot of people, the riffraff mob in the House can talk about whatever wave comes through this week and it won't pass, you know. But I think the people know when the Senate talks.
Yeah, man, I agree with that. And I just really want to add, I liked how he pretty much brought up the fact that, you know, you can take off your hard hat at the end of the day, but you're vaccinated for pretty much life, you know, always going to have that whatever that's injected in their body. And when that woman brought up, you know, who's going to accept liability if someone gets hurt? I mean, if you really just think about that just with very simple logic, you know, blanket force a large group of people to get vaccinated, you're accepting that a certain percentage of those people are going to get injured, possibly. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you have a large group of people, it's basically doing a study. It's not necessarily doing a study, but I'm just saying, like, you know, and who's going to take responsibility for that? Because we've seen these vaccine companies, they don't have the easiest channels of proving that it was the vaccine or proving that they were injured that way. And she certainly seemed like her bosses weren't going to be super interested in taking that bet. So honestly, if you as a business wouldn't vouch for the vaccine to the point where you'll put up your money for an employee that gets hurt by it, then I don't think it's safe enough.
Those are all good guests, Mike. I want to go ahead and bring on our guests now, because we just showed the hearing, and one of the people who spoke out of the again hundreds of people who were there was Nurse Jennifer Bridges, who actually works in Houston, Texas, where we broadcast from, where KPFT is based, at the Houston Methodist Hospital. I'm going to go ahead and bring on Jennifer. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for taking some time with us. You've been kind of listening to our conversation. You heard us play the clips from last week. Let's just dive right into this. You know, before we go any further, I would like to just remind our audience that the reason we're talking about this is because, as Micah was outlining, there's a Texas Senate bill on this. This is probably the most important issue at the moment right now, internationally, nationally, vaccine passports, vaccines, the mandates. And we're doing a journalistic effort here to give you all the sides of the story, the people who are against this and for this. And Jennifer is a part of that puzzle. So Jennifer, before we go further, could you please outline your credentials and how you got to working at the hospital that you do?
Yes, I've been a registered nurse for about 7 years now. I've been with the Houston Methodist Baytown campus for about 6.5 years now. And prior to this, they were a very good company to work for. But ever since this started, it's been a completely different story.
So tell us a little bit now about how you got from that job, working for 6 years, to testifying at the Texas Senate, being profiled by the New York Times and others across the country, and now suing your employer. Fill everybody in on the situation. What called you to go to Austin to speak there?
Well, basically, I'm still working for Methodist right now. They haven't gotten rid of me yet. But last week, when we found out there was an emergency hearing at the Senate, I got a call Wednesday. It was maybe about 11 or so from someone to ask me to please come down and bring employees to the Capitol so that way we could testify on the stand to let the Senate know what we've been going through. And luckily, 9 other employees could come with me at the last minute. And it was amazing. We got to get up there. They loved us being there. Senator Bob Hall was amazing. They really thanked us and appreciated that we were there. It was so uplifting to see so many people turn out. There was more than 200 that testified. And I would say about 90% of them were for the bill. And there was just a few that opposed it. But even the ones that opposed it did not produce a lot of facts to base it at all. And then Bob Hall, the senator, would question him. And like you saw with that one woman, they could never answer his questions. He did a very good job demonstrating that, basically.
And this is actually a little bit more personal to you, right? Because you're there to support this bill, but also the hospital you're working for. And is it correct, Houston Methodist Hospital? Is that
yes.
Right? Okay, and you said the Baytown Division, that they are requiring all employees to get the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, by June 7th. And if not, then you're out of a job. Is that correct?
Yes. As of June 7th, whoever does not comply will be suspended for 2 weeks with no pay and then terminated. And it's been a very personal and emotional battle for me and with like thousands of others that work for Methodist, because I am a direct COVID nurse. I've been on the unit. I got COVID last year from one of my patients. We've been treating these patients for over a year now and doing all the frontline work. And then all of a sudden our CEOs and CNOs produce this big ordeal with us that we're going to lose our jobs just because we don't want to take the vaccine. And it's very disheartening because they were never there. They never helped us. They literally stayed at home the whole time we were doing all the work and visited us through iPads. Their secretaries would walk through the units and they were at home on their iPads when we could have used all the help. So when a lot of times you'll see Mark Boom's interviews stating that we're selfish for not wanting to take this vaccine and we don't put the patients ahead of us. And that's so not true, because we're the ones that did everything when they sat at home and did absolutely nothing when we could have used the work, basically.
And Mark Boom is the head of the hospital division, right? The Methodist hospital, just so everybody knows.
Yes, Boom is the main CEO of all of Methodist.
Okay. Johnny, you had something you want to ask her?
It's funny you brought him up, because I was just checking into this yesterday and I found this article, the Becker's Hospital Review, and it's titled Why One Houston Methodist Nurse is Refusing the COVID-19 Vaccine, Even Though It Means Losing Her Job. So you just said how many people went with you? Nine?
Oh, yeah, nine. I believe there was a total of 10 of us testifying.
That's just a small example of how they play that. So they could have said, nine, but that sounds a little – okay, so – but anyways, here Dr. Boom specifically addresses it. He says this quote, and I just wondered what you thought about it. It says, "I want to reemphasize the reason we are making the COVID-19 vaccine mandatory. It's rather simple. As healthcare workers, we must do everything possible to keep our patients safe at the center of everything we do. Mandating the vaccine was not a decision made lightly, but science has proven the COVID-19 vaccines are safe and very effective. Like I say to everyone who asks, whether they're reporters, the public, patients, or our employees, it is our sacred obligation to do everything possible to keep our patients safe by choosing to be vaccinated. You are leaders showing our colleagues in healthcare what must be done to protect our patients, ourselves, our families, and our communities." And yeah, I just wondered if you had anything to say about that.
That is insane. Okay, for one thing, they've already proven that the vaccine does not work like they say it does. We've had multiple employees, patients, all kinds of accounts that have been fully vaccinated, and they still get COVID a couple months later, and they can still carry it, pass it along. It might help a little bit, but if it's not 100% effective by any means, we have the proof to back that up. And then on top of that, he's claiming it is 100% safe. If you are claiming that, back it up, because when they force us to take the vaccine, whenever you go get the vaccine at the hospital, they make you sign a waiver stating that you will not hold Methodist liable if anything happens to you. So if it is so safe, then why do we have to sign a waiver saying that we're not going to hold them responsible? And we've already had nurses, so many people that took that vaccine, whether they wanted to or they were forced. Or prior to that, they actually bribed us and they gave us a $500 bonus if we took it back in like February and March. And so many people have come down with adverse reactions. I've actually known a couple nurses that ended up having miscarriages. All sorts of craziness is happening. So if it is so safe, then get rid of that waiver and back it up.
And Jennifer, again, I just want to remind everybody who's hearing this that we're speaking with Nurse Jennifer Bridges of Houston Methodist Hospital, and she is one of many nurses, it seems, more nurses than the news would have you believe, that are facing a potential loss of their job on June 7th if they choose not to get this experimental new therapy. It shouldn't be controversial. We said this on the show to say that people should have the freedom to choose. And we've also in recent weeks, Jennifer, been talking about vaccine passports, mandates, requirements, and this conversation is becoming extremely important and prevalent. So I think that this conversation is probably one of the most important to be having right now about what many people are facing, such as yourself. And I just wanted to point this out and get you to, I guess, dive in a little deeper. I know Johnny and Micah have some more questions. At the hearing, you were telling them that, you're going to lose your job if you don't comply. And there was one of the guys that responded basically saying, to the effect that, can't you just get another job? Oh, big deal. You're going to lose your job. So talk a little bit about why. I don't think we've mentioned this, that why you are waging this fight, right? Because I've heard you say you're not against all vaccines. You just are saying we should have more time because this is an emergency use authorization by the FDA. It has not been officially approved. I believe our audience probably knows that, but maybe some on KPFT don't know that it hasn't been fully approved in the traditional way people think. And so you're essentially just saying we should have more time to decide. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, definitely. Because there's no reason they should force us to take something that's only got an emergency use on it right now. It's not fully FDA approved. And there's so much more research that needs to be done. Nobody has actually had this vaccine for more than a year. So nobody knows long-term effects. There's a lot of studies that still need to be done. So basically, a lot of us are just fighting. We don't want to be guinea pigs. We want the right to choose what we're going to put into our own bodies. Because, I mean, once you put it in, you can't take it back out. So all these people that are having adverse reactions, some have even died from it. Like, why make us the guinea pigs? That's completely insane, especially after all the work we put into this. Like, this is not the way we should be treated right now at all. And I made the argument because my own entity, CNO and CEO, had called me into a meeting before I got really big with this and basically tried to bully me into stopping everything. And I made a strong point. I was like, this whole year, CDC, everybody says we can just wear N95s and face shields. So let us do that. What is the difference now? But they wouldn't answer me. They just ignored me and just kept scooting around the fact. And then one part that's really insane too is that Methodist claims they offer religious and medical exemptions, but you have to have them filled out by your doctor or your pastor. It goes up against a panel of judges, and they have denied at least 80 to 85% of them. They've all been turning them into me, showing the denials, and it is insane because that's unconstitutional.
That's a point that I brought up actually on a previous show of saying, like, okay, so you're religious, but like, who gets to decide how religious you are? You have to be this religious to be exempt from the vaccine. I think that's a little bit disheartening. I did want to ask you one more time. So Dr. Broom, would he know about the adverse effects that are going on with like the nurses and stuff that are around you? Because like that's my question. Because you're saying he clearly stated in this that it's safe, and you're telling me that people around you were, you know, having miscarriages and stuff, which is something that my heart goes out to anyone who's experiencing that. Because I mean, I don't know why they're pushing this on pregnant women, and it was never tested on pregnant women. So, like, that kind of stuff is, it's not cool. So I was wondering what you think his awareness, because you also mentioned he was, you know, having his secretaries carry around a tablet. So this guy could just be in his house somewhere not knowing what's going on the ground. So is it that he's just, you know, I guess negligent, or is he, you know, being misleading?
Honestly, he's being misleading because I know he knows the information that's out there, but I honestly feel this is, in so many words, I feel it's about money and power and them wanting to be the first and to make themselves just feel like they look amazing in front of like the whole country, basically, which is completely opposite. Because I have been reached out by thousands of people literally throughout the country, even Canada, Europe, that are completely with us and they want to be supportive. They want to help. I have an online petition. There's over 7,600 people that are siding with us right now. It is just amazing. And the main reason I've been on the news and I've been doing all this is because I'm just crazy and I don't get scared that easily. But I am literally speaking for thousands of employees, like thousands that reach out to me every single day. They are terrified. They're scared. They're crying. Some already took it just because they have to feed their families. And it's insane. They didn't have enough like strength, I guess, behind them. They were very intimidated because we've been getting bullied like insanely at work right now. But I don't know. There's just something in my brain that doesn't affect me and they don't scare me. So I stepped forward because my heart went out to all these people and I felt so bad for them. And I wanted to try to help as much as I could. A big part of what I do as a nurse is I'm a huge patient advocate. And right now at this point in time, we're all patients. And patients usually have the right to refuse a procedure. And we're not given that same right. We're just completely being denied our basic civil and human rights.
Yeah, and I want to just add to that, Jennifer, that, you know, we appreciate, as Johnny said, just the work, the courage that you do have. You know, not everybody does step up in these situations. And you mentioned, for example, just, people having to get the vaccine or, you know, make this decision, even if it's not their first choice, because they got to work. And personally, I've been trying to, I guess, warn friends and family who are in that position where they say, look, I don't trust this thing, I'm not going to take it, and really get them to think in a tangible, practical way. Well, what are you going to do when your work requires it, or you can't get your check or bank account or 401k or healthcare or whatever without that? And if you know you're not going to get it, then it seems that you need to, you know, either fight back and be vocal like you are, or, and in addition to that, try to figure out what you're going to do in case things go this direction, how you're going to take care of yourself and your family. But I did want to mention before we get to Micah that you also, you haven't, you're not just speaking out, but you're actually suing the hospital. Tell us about that.
Yes, I'm actually filing a lawsuit, which will become public next week. so I don't want to give too many details yet, but it is going to, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm on the phone a lot right now, but it is going to be rather large. And basically, we are going to be having, oh yes, thank you. That is my GoFundMe page. Please, I beg to everybody to donate to us. Y'all will see public next week that our GoFundMe is going to be basically paying for this lawsuit. Methodist has a lot of money, and we need the means to fight them and be able to fight for our freedoms, basically. And you will see next week just how big this lawsuit is going to be. I wish I could tell you the details now, but my lawyer told me to wait until it's public. But we need as many funds as possible. So please find it in your hearts to contribute, pass it along, share it. Just the more we can get, the easier chance we're going to have to win to get to beat them.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing everything you have so far. Again, everyone, we're speaking with Nurse Jennifer Bridges of the Houston Methodist Hospital. Micah, did you want to add any questions or just thoughts on this whole conversation?
I think Johnny has something real quick.
Sorry, I was muted. Just one more quick thing, and it's almost a statement, but I just wanted to say how it was crazy how you were, you know, the held up as a hero, the medical frontline workers were held up as heroes, and then now it flips so quickly. I just want to let you know that, like, a lot of people, I'm looking through this comment section, a lot of people still see you as a hero, and we do appreciate what you're doing right now.
Thank you. I
didn't
really
want to forget
that.
I wanted to make sure I said that to you.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that, because that's come something I kind of brought up to some friends of mine. I was like, last year they portrayed us almost as like superheroes, right? Which we're not, but that's just what the public was saying. And now all of a sudden we're being thrown under the rug and just cast aside. And it makes absolutely no sense. It's basically like it's like big business and money and power is trying to take over and get rid of the people who actually did all the work and that actually put themselves at risk and, you know, did everything. And it was amazing. I'm just going to say this real quick. At the Senate, Bob Hall and some other senators really thanked us for being there. And at the end of the talk that I did, that was about 2 minutes long, he thanked me and he said, please never stop fighting for our basic civil rights and our American rights. Because he said, once you quit fighting and you're quiet, then we're going to lose those rights and they'll no longer be there. So he said he thanked me for standing up for this and like taking a stand because he doesn't want us to lose our rights.
Thank you.
Certainly. I think that's well said, and it goes to what the senator said about this and I guess putting it on the foundation of civil liberty. So I thought that was very important. I also, like Johnny, want to thank you for taking the stand that you're taking in this. I had some questions, but I kind of want to get through this little moment because for a decade now on Freethinker Radio, we have basically encourage people to take a stand such in things they believe in, that they've reasoned out, that they've come to some principle. And I believe for you, you know, it's you've espoused what's going on here, and to take the stand. And in numerous times, it's been things such as police brutality, whether it was just taking a stand of filming it, but just not going along with the herd. Not just becoming, you know, a follower of something you didn't understand. And that's one of the things that to me is most frustrating about this is because, you know, everybody, I guess the herd talks about follow the science, you know, this is the science, you know, if you question this, even though we saw the number, the thousands of people that, in 20 years, the vaccine have had vaccine claims. They referenced that in Derek's clip earlier. And then just the number since for COVID that looked huge compared to the number overall. And, you know, at a point, I think the point of science was that something could be replicated and understood. But it sounds like we've slipped into the same thing we've seen and talked about on this show for a decade or more, that in the face of authoritarianism, this is what we get. And now what we sort of have is a sort of medical authoritarianism that's stepping in and telling everybody, don't do drugs, don't push, you know, don't do these things. But here, take this untested thing in your body, as we've all said over and over. And, you know, and they crank up the coercion. They crank up the coercion. You can't travel. You'll be a pariah. Then they you know, like you said, are bullying. And you know, one question that I kind of had was, what are some of the? Have you heard any compelling arguments on the other side, or any arguments that made you go, you know, I'm taking this stand, but that one shakes me a little bit? I haven't really ran into them, but I imagine you're under a lot more, you know, pressure with that. Has anything affected you? Like, was this an easy choice for you? Have you been vaccinated for other things, and this one stands out because it's so inordinate? See, I got a lot of questions, but it's just, where do we go with this? So can you tell me, one, have you been vaccinated for other things? And was there anything that your coworkers, you said bully, was there anything that really just affected you, that you didn't expect that sort of an argument or something? I'm trying to get into the mind of the opposition and find out where their strongest arguments are so that we can work on them. And you, like Johnny said, are a leader slash a hero in this stand, because anyone who stands up against authoritarianism is a bit of a hero. We don't have enough of that. So you've been to the front, and like most heroes, you aren't being appreciated. And, you know, this is what happens to American heroes over and over again, right? So maybe you can shed some light and empower the rest of us to not just with, you know, by example, but with some of your knowledge. Like, what have you ran in?
Oh, what was that last question?
What the two questions are, have you been vaccinated for other things? And what's the most troubling argument that the opposition's flung at you?
I've had all my vaccines. I'm definitely not an anti-vaccination person. This one is just a little scary because basically all the information they're just putting on the TV and trying to tell everybody isn't always accurate. And people need to really look into their own research, because there's a lot going on with this vaccine that they're not wanting you to know about. And there's a lot of people out there fighting for the truth, but they're just not allowing them to be heard. So yes, I've definitely taken all my other vaccines, but this one's a little scary. This one's a lot different. This one has never been done before. It's an mRNA. So it actually goes into part of your DNA, and God only knows what that could possibly do down the years. So that's a little scary. And as for the fact of the bullying, the questions and that from work, it's been crazy. It's some of the entities people have told me, the ones that haven't been vaccinated, they've actually segregated them at some points and made them sit on like the other side of the room while at different functions. People are getting bullied by staff and their managers. They're constantly getting harassed about taking the vaccine. At some of the campuses, they're even getting pulled aside, the people like me that haven't been vaccinated. And they're telling them things like, you know, you're making the other staff uncomfortable. If we hear you talking about your views or your opinions, we're going to write you up. Like crazy, crazy things that you would never have expected would ever happen. And they're literally hounding us every day. Are you going to take the vaccine? Are you going to quit? What are you going to do? Because they're trying to push us out the door. They've actually listed a lot of our jobs already when we haven't even left yet. We're still working and our jobs are being posted, and they're trying to fill them. And then what's really crazy is people I know and friends of mine that submitted their 2-week notices, they submit them, and the day they submit them, they are escorted out of the building. Even one of my friends submitted it through an email from home one night. The very next morning, she gets a call and they literally told her, do not come back in the hospital. We will mail you your belongings straight out of your locker. And that was insane. Like, we should not be treated that way. It just, it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Because I believe they're starting to realize how many people are willing to get fired or quit right now. And they know they're about to be majorly short-staffed. So they're trying to replace us before we even leave. It's insane.
No doubt. I think that's very important for people to hear, because the pressure.
Mike has been having technical difficulties.
I think we lost Micah's mic, but
the pressure.
There you are, Micah.
Up. And you know, that's what you're speaking to. And I've seen it in different work environments that I've gone to as a visitor, that the people there are already getting this stuff. Like you're saying, they're been trying to, and one thing, I'm glad you answered that question, because one thing you brought up is they're trying to push you out the door to get you to quit. You know, in Texas, it's a right to work state. They can let you go really for any reason. But, you know, if you quit before, then it's sort of like you, this person who's standing up for a belief and a principle, you're giving it up. They don't have to justify themselves. You know, they don't want to have to play unemployment or face a lawsuit or, you know, explain their actions. So I think that's very important that you brought that up, because they will try to, just like on the schoolyard, they will try to ostracize you. So you just go away with your weird self or whatever. But at the same time, there's nothing more important than these stands. So thanks for sharing that information. Thanks for making this stand. And I hope you continue to have the good fight. And I think that what we're identifying is, you know, the medical industrial complex, the authoritarianism that they're bringing in with this, like we saw with the, you know, the whole war on terror. It's kind of like the same thing in a way, that you are almost a frontline soldier on the side of defending individual liberty. And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, Jennifer. Is there anything else you'd like to leave the audience with? Any final thoughts before we let you go today?
I actually would. If anybody is interested, we're about to make it completely public tomorrow, but we're going to be holding a very peaceful protest on May 22nd from 11 to 3 right in front of the Houston downtown main Methodist campus. And I have a couple of vaccine groups helping me to gather a lot of people. So it should be a very large, but yet very peaceful protest. And I even have t-shirts that I got made that we're going to be selling there to help us get money for the GoFundMe. And yes, is that it? That's it. That's our protest. So whoever is willing to come forward and just come hang out, make signs, buy a t-shirt, all the support is so appreciated. Like, we plan on making this as big as we possibly can.
Well, thank you again so much, Jennifer, for not only just for everything that, you know, you're doing that we've all thanked you for, but for your time tonight, for being an example to other people. I think it takes people like yourself to really step up and inspire others to take action. Because, I mean, sometimes people don't see an example. They might feel hopeless. Somebody like yourself becomes really vocal, goes out there, speaks in front of the Texas Senate, speaks to the New York Times, and obviously risks your job and all of that, it really sends a message. So thank you again. And we will make sure to plug the links that you shared with us and for the event and everything you have going on. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I super appreciate it.
All right, guys, let's continue on with Freethinker Radio. Should we hit a quick music break and come back and unpack some of that? Because we just covered a whole lot. Johnny sent us a quick one. Micah, you're
Micah's
muted.
Micah's muted.
Super fast music break.
Johnny sent me a really fast music break. So check this out. You're listening to Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston. We're going to play a quick music, and we'll be right back. This is a song by the Dead Rabbits.
Finally,
Welcome back to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. And what's going on? Johnny, tell us a little about that song before we dive into everything we just covered.
That little quickie was a Dead Rabbits song, and it's written by my good friend Micah about his beautiful girlfriend Laura, called Ella Lane. And yeah, I really like the violin. It's a nice Danger cool. Dave gets in there.
Dig it. Well, I mean, let's unpack a little bit of this. We've got about 10, 12, 15 minutes of the show.
Lots to unpack.
Yeah, I mean, so Micah, just a lot going on. What are your thoughts? I mean, I think this is probably, like I was telling her, one of the biggest battles right now.
It's just interesting that we are here in Texas, and it's just like, Texas is kind of like, some people kind of make fun of it, like, you know, for being the state that's like, oh, I'll leave if I want to, you know? Yeah, exactly. He already knew. That's kind of like it's cool to see this conversation happening, like, on that government level of like, okay, like, are we able to, like, mandate these vaccines, but not just like light legislation about it. I mean, like, the bill is like really heavy, like, in specific, like, you cannot mandate vaccines. And I mean, I think that is a bedrock. Like, I was talking to Derek about this earlier. The problem, like, you know, isn't so much like, you know, the science. Like, you're not really you can debate science on this, and like, people are now, right now, talking about the COVID vaccine, but who knows what they're going to come out with, like, later on down the road, especially if they're setting a precedent of mandating vaccines that are emergency use authorized and quickly put together and has a ton of opposition and advert. If they're going to mandate that, then what else would they mandate, and like, who else would be there to stand in line? So what I was saying is, it's about like the science, yes, but like, it's also always going to come down to the philosophical question of, like, you know, your body, your choice. Like, do you ultimately have that freedom of how to medicate yourself? Like, do you have the right to not, like, I guess, take a medicine if it's going to kill you, like you traditionally always have, but they're going to argue the science, you know, to try to get you to, you know, say, what am I trying to say? They're trying to argue that the vaccines affect other people. So, like, that's really where the philosophy goes. Like, where is the line in there that's like, you know, where's allowed, and what would you have to prove? How much would it have to affect other people, and like, individual versus crowd? I think that's really what the conversation's about.
Yeah, Micah, you want to add any thoughts to that?
No, I got some thoughts, but I don't know what you can add. You know, I think it's pretty straightforward for most people. And I think most of our audience gets it. You know, I think we've talked a little bit about something Johnny touched on in a past episode. I think there's a point, because, you know, there's not an absolute answer. The law there is really great in stopping, you know, the authoritarian demand you get a vaccine. And I think, you know, if there is any time to step up and use force to stop something, it's violating people. So I would probably support the government if it made a law on this, not in everything, but on this law. But at the same time, you know, there's a point at which I will take an untested vaccine. We talked about this, Derek. Would take an untested vaccine. But what is it? It's a context that's totally radically different than the context we're in now. It's a context where if I go to the corner store, I'm passing bodies. I'm not joking. I mean, like, seriously, there's a point. So what are we talking about? The edge of science's newest vaccine that isn't even tested that much, and you don't have any rights against it, versus something that I believe I have a strong, no pre-existing conditions that I know of, chance of surviving. And, you know, I think that's what it is. And so it's hard to come out with just, you know, here's where the individual trumps the collective, because they're always going to go to this point that the individual is a loaded gun, basically. The individual is a bomb waiting to go off, and it's going to kill everybody else. But, you know, is that really the case or not? And that's the question that if you consider yourself liberal or human or even conservative of the values of, you know, the traditional American values. It's interesting how you could be liberal, human, or conservative in this statement and still come out on the same side of defending the individual against the collective? And why are so many people that are supposed to be present in this discussion abdicating, running off, and hiding? And why aren't we hearing about the numbers, like the numbers that individuals spoke about with the number of harms that have occurred? Why don't we hear often about the 5 million people who have not gone to get the second dose? You know, why is Ohio offering money, the chance to win the lottery if you get shot? I mean, I don't, you know, are people dying?
Yeah, Mike, I just want to add to that, because I'm glad you mentioned that. I have just those four stories lined up to show people all the different offers that are coming out, from burgers, fries, donuts. Like, I mean, they're really trying to bribe people at this point.
Do they have any sexual favors yet?
They're not promising sexual favors yet, but they are promising they're promising tickets to Six Flags at this point.
That's in Europe, right?
But I wanted to just mention two different comments that we got on the show just related to this, because they kind of show both sides. One person apparently is, you know, basically in favor of vaccine mandates and says, you could wear masks and face shields before the vaccine wasn't available. It's interesting that so many people became religious and want to opt out. The vaccine is proving to prevent infections. That's not true. Those who do become infected after vaccinated have a very light case of it. Just be a considerate person and get vaccinated to protect yourself and others. I hope the hospital sticks with this policy. So that's different than the usual listener, maybe. And then one of the persons said, I made the unfortunate mistake of getting the Moderna vaccine first shot a week ago. Since then, I swelled up with 20 pounds of fluid, and now I have an enlarged liver. I have got to go to the ER since then, and they couldn't figure it out. I'm not even going to the second dose one. I should have never done the first one. So like Micah said, millions of people not going back for the second one, if for one reason or another. But just to show the contrast in our audience, and I hope everybody who's listening to this on KPFT and elsewhere understands that Freethinker Radio, since its inception in 2011, has been about trying to bring people all of these types of topics. We advocate for things we care about, but these are issues that are going on. This is a Texas Senate bill being considered right now. This is the issue of our time right now, whether or not people are going to have freedom of movement, the right to work, the right to travel without vaccine or vaccine status. And I'm just going to pop on screen a couple of things real quick that Micah just mentioned. One of them, there is some pushback. Orange County has paused their vaccine passport plan after hundreds of people protested outside the county meeting. This is just an idea. If anybody wants to go show up at other county meetings, hundreds of people on Tuesday protested outside the Orange County Board of Supervisors meeting against vaccine passports. And so there were 700 people signed up to speak. There was hundreds of people outside, and they basically abandoned the program. That can happen. You know, we did a similar thing back in the day with the plan by the TSA to put people on the buses and be searching. You can push back, but you got to go find the officials, county boards, city boards, and if you can get organized, which unfortunately, because it's so divisive, it is difficult sometimes to organize. Johnny was talking about that earlier. And then just a couple of the bribes that are going on. Ohio governor's now saying that if you get vaccinated, you can join a lottery and win up to $1 million. And if you're 12 to 17, you can get a free scholarship to a four-year university in Ohio if you take the vaccine. Detroit is now paying people
vaccines with $1 million.
And Detroit's paying people $50 to anyone who can convince someone else to get a vaccine. So convince your friend to get a vaccine and you get $50. And this one, Illinois announces free Six Flags tickets for newly vaccinated. So you can go to Six Flags for free if you and get, you know, actually it's not even just one time. It's like Six Flags tickets for like, I think, a whole season that you get free.
So do we need to start? We need to start getting raising funds to give out stuff for people who don't get vaccinated.
I think that might be an interesting approach
for non-vaccinated people.
It could be an interesting approach. Look, guys, I'm going to play this last clip here. Look, this is just 1 minute. Listen to this statement by New York City Governor Mayor Bill de Blasio promising you. Yeah, look, this is it, dude. Promising you burgers and fries. Burgers and fries if you get your vaccine. So check this out real quick. This is the New York City Governor.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this? These delicious fries? Wait a minute. But there's also a burger element to this? Let me check with Bill Neidhart. Is it too early in the day to eat a burger?
No.
This could be breakfast? Okay. I want you to look at this and think about, again, some people love hamburgers, some don't. Really want to respect all ways of life. But if this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination. Mmm.
Yeah, nothing makes me want to not get this anymore.
I'm getting a very good feeling about vaccination rates at the moment. Free fries when you get vaccinated.
Dude.
He talks with his mouth full.
What's he? Oh my God.
Shake Shack, Micah. It's Shake Shack. That's who's partnering with. So basically, Shake Shack in New York City is saying that if you get the vaccine, you can get vouchers for burgers and fries. I mean, it's just a
struggle. Save $10.
You could quit supporting these places that are, you know, supporting this. Yeah, you
exactly.
You know, that's like, you know, taking some weird drug you don't know what is exactly for $10.
That's kind of what you're, I mean, I don't know, man.
It doesn't make you feel good.
Well, I mean, the people who were vaccinated got to be disappointed that they didn't get the fries, right?
I'd be mad. Can you come back
with some kind of coupon? Like, y'all miss me.
Well, let me just add to this, guys. So, you know, I'm in Mexico, and I just took a trip last week to southern Mexico, right on the border of Guatemala in Chiapas. And that's where most of the indigenous communities, indigenous natives that live in Mexico are kind of based at. And there's 7 or 8 different native communities, 7 or 8 different languages. And I got to go visit a couple of them. There are over a dozen different municipalities there who have rejected the vaccine and who have literally said, get the heck out of town. And I got to go meet some of these folks, you know, and just these aren't like anarchist revolutionaries. These are mom and pops owning a mango farm that are just like, we don't trust you.
What's the difference?
You know, that's what they really are. But it's just a small little old lady and her husband, right? And she said they tried to bring the vaccines in there and they told them, like, get out of here. They tried to come back a second time. They said, get out of here. And then they put out a public statement saying that we're not taking these vaccines into our community. We don't trust them. And this is what we were told. They are told that they will pay them 950 pesos, which is just under 50 bucks in Mexico, and that's a lot of money for some people. 950 pesos every month if you get the vaccine. Every month if you get the vaccine, and pay you per child if you get the vaccine. So that's what they're telling poor indigenous small towns and villages, that we'll bribe you off and literally not even just like Six Flags tickets or donuts, but put money in your hands.
I mean, just I don't even know. Like we're living in a weird world right now. Like, I mean, you don't have to bribe people this hard to do something that's, you know, clearly working, you know, or safe. Like, I mean, like everyone's walking around like the problem is they're not smart enough. They just haven't made the right decision. So maybe if you just have the governor eating some fries.
They love fries. People will be hungry.
They'll associate that. Yeah, they'll associate with that with fries. And I mean, like I'm just trying to say, like, the people who aren't doing this, they're not doing it because they need fries. You know, I mean, we're not avoiding this because we're hungry. We're not avoiding this. I mean, like, in the people that are avoiding this, they're sure as hell they're not. I mean, the $1 million. Now you're talking. You're probably gonna get some people on the $1 million. But I'm just saying, like, these other things are just hilarious. It's just like how our news media and our governors and I mean, not Senator Hall. He doesn't talk to us like we're stupid. But I mean, that governor should be condemned for treating you like a freaking 4-year-old. Like, oh, you get a big old sunshine sticker today if you do that. Yeah. You know, it's like,
we are out of time for KPFT. Maybe we'll stick around for a couple more minutes because we want to discuss this.
But just want
to go ahead and wrap up here and just say thanks to everybody who tuned in, and thanks to Jennifer Bridges for being with us tonight. I mean, it's just such a powerful story. Please do visit our website, thehoustonfreethinkers.com, where you can find all of our archives. And if you want to hang out for a couple minutes, I'll stick around. And yeah, see you guys soon.
Love you guys.
Live free.
Marijuana smoking, experts point out, can make a helpless addict of its victim within weeks, causing physical and moral ruin and death. Should you ever be confronted with the temptation of taking that first puff of a marijuana cigarette, don't do it.